family. Those which we share flesh and blood. That if I would line up in a row and have the choice to pick them myself and share my everyday, I honestly don't know if I could. Those that you've had the longest relationship with. But if life is momentary, what difference does it make my attachment to the bonds that the body holds? If my soul has eternity, shouldn't I call family those that speak to it? My soul family is in my every chapter, not just on this journey. Anyway, all of this was to basically make the point that it isn't about you anymore. Or the use that I had in my mind, all those faces and you and yous that I allowed to dictate every step that I made right up till 3 years ago, actually almost 4 years ago. This time, it's about me and how I've overcome the me, the you, the we. So, the subject that I would like to begin with, it is family. I'm going to give a brief intel about my type of family, actually the family that I have experienced and why it has become such a such a deep subject, and how I had to unwrap and give meaning, and I had to distinguish logic from my emotions, and how I came back to this conclusion and why I wrote that poem and with so many questions. So I am 38 now. I have my own family. I had a few families, actually. I am that woman that I desperately hoped not to become. The one that had the two children with two different men. And that society seems to think that it's okay to judge a lot, including myself. I was that bitch, guys. I was that bitch. I'm never going to be that woman. She must have been so stupid, you know. How did she think, you know, she was going to keep that guy? He was an idiot from the get-go. How did she not see? I'm never going to be. I'm going to have my children, you know, with the same dad. Of course, that's respectful. That is dignity. Yeah. You know, how the hell did I even think that I, with my background, like I could have made any other choice but the ones that I did? It's unbelievable. Where did I get all that sauce, you know, like to even think like that and judge someone else's? But you know what? God gives you exactly what you fear, because it's there that you find the profound meaning of who you are, and the one that scares you so much to admit is usually, you know, when they say that everyone outside, there are these theories where they talk about the fact that everyone we meet, everything that surrounds us is a precise mirror of what you have inside. There you go. And this is the way that I got to find out. So anyway, 38, background is, ethnical background, East African. So some of you might know that it means that somehow people can claim in every way East Africa is Somalia, Ethiopia, Eritrea. I mean, the corn of Africa. So I kind of have all of them. So it's like it's a blessing and a curse. But that's going to be another day for another podcast. But then first generation parents immigrated in Europe, precisely in Italy. And I was born there. So my first 19 years of life, it was in the 80s in a country which was absolutely not ready. Not ready in their conscience, in their emotions, and in their knowledge to embrace a generation that had to, like me, break barriers, paved the way for the kids now out there, and had to run away the moment that we had the liberty to do so, because the pain and the missing of identity and the lack of self-esteem that those 19 years, you know, brought to me. And in the midst of that, I had a really dysfunctional family where, by all means, I forgive and I understand, but I still had to endure with parents that were beyond the ignorance about themselves and hope and complex that somehow I still try to shed off me. Anyway, ended up in care by age 5 in the nuns, with the nuns. Stayed there until 11 years old. So didn't really experience sense of family with my brother, my little brother, which I became a parent by age 5. A little bit earlier, actually, but I became solidly his mom once we ended up in care, because obviously I was 5, he was 2, and it seemed perfectly adequate to say, Amina, the little helper, you know, like, and people pleaser, why don't you? I think, you know, you should be really, 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 really. Amina, we love you so much. As I remember the day that they left us outside this massive gate, this incredible, like, period villa in the middle of the fucking nowhere in the countryside in Italy. Having these nuns and me, you know, coming out, holding my hand, and as I turn back, I see my parents, you know, smiling, probably scared to death of what was happening, as they know they had no choice by now to leave us in the care of these strangers. And as Muslim parents, leaving these children in a Christian establishment, I can't even imagine how petrifying it must have been and humiliating. As a mom, I would feel heartbroken and humiliated and such a bloody failure if that would be my, caused by my doing. They told me to be a good sister and to look after my brother. I think those words got cemented in me and became the pivotal of how I've learned to be loved. If you tell me that by doing something, I will gain your love and respect. And obviously the years after that came, that situation and my obsession with becoming the parent of my brother and the results and the appraisal, you know, and me being really good at doing that and finding that my parents, they did gratify me and they appraised me for it. Obviously, it began like a whole bigger dysfunction. But anyway, again, another story for another episode. So fast forward from age 5 to age 11, when it was finally time for us, actually for me, I was the first one out of the two to come back home and live with my mom. At this time, my mom and my dad were already divorced, meant that I finally had the dream that I've been cultivating for all those years, you know, crying into my own self that I wanted to go home, or whatever home seemed to be, which was where my parents were. And as a child, you know, being alone and scared and had to fend for myself, and I was so happy. I was happy, but I was sad because obviously I was a parent of my brother and I had to leave him behind. And that began the journey of learning what felt to belong to a family, like on a 7 days basics, because obviously before, well, it's not so obvious because if you have never been to care, you wouldn't know, but there are different type of arrangement, but ours was that we would stay with the nuns for 5 days a week and then we would come back on a Saturday and go home on a Sunday to then begin everything else, the whole cycle again from Monday to Friday. And while doing that, I didn't have to face the realities and the pain and the getting to understand to the depth of what my family dysfunction was, and until I got home. And that summer, it was the year in which I had to begin secondary school as well. So I was living in a very affluent, let's say, like you kids would call it bougie, you know, like area of my city. My mom works terribly hard to make sure, you know, that out of the divorce, she would show up and be the person that could do it without my dad's help. And she succeeded in that. We did live in a really, like, rich area. However, we were still poor. She was working as a nurse. How would you call it? You know, like somebody that looks after. It's like it was done privately. This old lady, she needed assistance, and that's what she did. And that was at work. That was 24/7. I didn't get to see my mom. I came home to a parent that was not used to being a parent anymore, but still wanted the rights to be a parent. So she wanted the right to say and have liberties towards me, but without having an earned it in any way. Obviously, you can say that she didn't have the tools, that she didn't have the maturity, and I completely get that today, though, as 38 years old. But at that time, I was scared. I was in a place, I was in a home with a stranger, which I did not know because I haven't lived with. I don't know her. But I still had to feel that I did. And if you grew up with that 80s mentality, was like, I'm your mom, you know, like, give you life and so therefore I can take it, or have respect, I'm your mother, I'm your blood, you know, like, and growing up with this constant idea or, you know, perspective of my parents that they always gave me, of the strangers outside that don't accept sweets, you know, and watch how the neighbor wants to do this, and the only people that really care for you and they love you is family, because like blood is thicker than water. So do you know what, when people say that, it just really pisses me off. Like, I'm like, hey, I don't drink blood. I don't know you, but I drink water. So, blood is thick, but I don't see it. It's inside me. It's like spirit. Okay? I need it for sure, but I need water. So, is family is thicker than water, okay? That does not mean to me that it's more important. So, the way that I see it now is that, yes, family is important, but it has to flow like water. It has to be important like water. And I cannot allow blood to define what family is. And for me to find sanity in this throughout my life and in chapters, you know, like to find an identity and disattach, you know, from the concept, I had to. Is that between all the monotheistic religions, which it is the one God religion, they all have in common many things, but the main factors are the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments says to honor your father and honor your mother. And that being out of like 10 rules, like fucking hell, like 10 rules that I have to conduct my life peacefully, like let me go quote, like peacefully and in harmony with yourself, in the will of God. You give me 10 commandments, which one of those rules for me to find a way to heaven, it is to honor your mother and your father. My question was, is like, so where is that honor your children? Like, where is that responsible parenting? How about, you know, don't give them fucking trauma? How about, like, where are the rules about what kind of parents they needs to be honored? Do we honor all of them? So my question is as well, now I am a completely different parent from my parents. Do I, that stays, changes itself, works hard to be open and translates all her traumas into, you know, power, and wants to break, you know, the ties, you know, with these chains of like the past, and wanting to give my children new fucking trauma? Like I say, I always say all the time, I have no idea what these girls, my daughters, will come out. And however, I am making sure that it's going to be new trauma. Not like, enough with the same, you know, like old shoe. But But do we get both the same treatment? Do I, like, the parent that does all of that and the parent that actually doesn't, do we still honor them in the same way? Like, how is it that putting the effort and working hard, and it is fucking hard, you know, like, to change your ways, to change the way that you've been programmed from childhood, to think about family, to think about ties, to think about relationship, to think about of the way that you react. It is hard. It is hard from the, like, the way that you discipline your children and the reaction that you have when you are mad. It is hard. It is. I'm not saying, you know, like, the mom or any other parent, you know, had it easy, but it's no easy to change. So, and it's a habit. It's a work in progress of constantly reflection and humbling yourself into the, I need to undo what is being done. And for me to do that, I need to accept the fact that I am ignorant into understanding health. And healing comes from a space of, I actually have no fucking clue what healthy is, but let me go off and search it. But I do know that where I came from, it is not health. So, and with that in mind, how are we going back to the honor your father and your mother stance? Like, how do we get the same treatment? How is it even fair? And then, and when it is appropriate for you, you know, to deliver responsibilities back, you know, like, and it's not about blaming. It's about the difficulty that I've always found in the relationship with my parents, in particular. It is the constant shadow of the, it doesn't matter what we do to you. It doesn't matter how we have behaved towards you. We're still family. And I'm like, hold on. So does that, like, does that, to me, then after, like, the whole narrative, it became that, so does that family means that you could do whatever you want to me and I could do whatever I want to you, but then in the moment of need, we still show up for each other? And I mean, and then when we are all fine, I can throw it all back in your face and manipulate you with the little breadcrumbs that I gave you. And then you, we always know that there's always, like, the weak person in the family that is always trying to be the bond and hide me. However, if you actually, and this is actually really interesting, if you listen to each person in the family, you would actually interview them, like, individually, you would actually realize that we all have this perception that we are the glue, and we thought that we were doing so. By all means, even, you know, every perspective is important. But as far as I was concerned, I'm here. I felt like I've lost myself. I don't even know if I like what I like, or I'm liking it because you want me to like it, and I want to be in your life, mom, dear mommy, dear daddy, dear brother. So the question is that, what is family? How do we define it? What does it mean? And to me, it's been a roller fucking coaster. I don't know how you guys have been handling this question and how did you get to the, I need to have my soul family. But for me to really, like, own it and embrace it, I had to disattach from the religious part, from the biological part, and then and go into the soul searching. So the outcome that I have now, and then you guys can all please come in and tell me how you actually keep up with it, and if you've arrived in the same, you know, space that I have. Okay, this is the idea. I had to embrace the spiritual say of the body. It is what is the tool that I have to live the experience as a human, okay? So my family, and I mean the physical one, which can be as well like soul family, but the ties that we have with each other physically, which is the bond that actually... most, even religion doesn't even talk about the soul one. So I don't know even like how spiritual it is. But I mean, if you think about it, and I was like, it's the physical, because they always talk about, you know, like your mother, she gave you life. So this, and even, you know, it's very like physical, very material, very like full 3D or 4D, as we would say. Yeah. But then one day I'll die. My body will be left here. I don't even take my own children when I die. Forget about, you know, people when they talk about the fact that you're not going to take your material things, your job, you know. But I don't even take my children, and I love them to bits. I don't take anything. I get left here. My body, my physical me stays here. So the importance that the body has as a tool for me to live this experience, and how actually I come to this experience, which it is through my mother and my father, cannot be more important of the experience that I'm living with them. And so I had to remove the attachment of the fact that because I come from you, it means that I am attached to you, or I am good for you, or we are good for each other, or I have to be part of your life, and I have the need to, of course I do, sorry, I do have the need to have parents, and we all do, but I have the need to have healthy relationship, healthy interactions, and you have to let go of that. I had to let go of the need to return 100 million times just solely for the reason that, but she's my mother. And I hate it. Like, I mean, I don't like to use the word hate it, but it pains me and it hurts me each time, you know, that I hear people go, yeah, but life is short, you know, and at the end, she's always your mother. And I was like, excuse me, life is short. And at the end, I am her child. And I feel like I have no fucking choice, but I love you. That's why I return billions times. I've come back time and time again because I love you so desperately, and I want you to be the person that can hold my love. But she ain't, he ain't, they can't. And every time that we are together, it's dysfunction. So, and it was resentment and manipulation, and I can't pick up myself each time from that. So, and I'm returning because if I then go and then look on the other side, so if you put your family and the blood tie on the side, then you look at the other people on the other side and they don't have blood ties to you. So you're thinking, and if you've been indoctrinated with this mentality, you're like, okay, so you're not going to love me for real because you don't have these blood ties with me. But that's when the concept, I've heard about the concept of like, of your chosen family. And I was like, that's got to be something, you know. Like, and I went deep into it. And in fact, I think like subconsciously, I was already onto it because I've always been the teenager that had the family outside. I was running out of the door the moment that I had chances to, so that I could find people that I could relate to, I could find people that I could love, and they would always have a really different perception of me. I don't know if you guys can relate with this, but my family would talk about me as like the most malicious, manipulative, selfish, you know, obnoxious person. But then people outside would talk of a giving, caring, loving, bright, sweet, affectionate person. And I had to live with this double personality, but obviously, because again, we are indoctrinated into your family is the only one that loves you and everybody else is. And I don't know if you've ever heard this in your own family, but my parents put this thing in me, in my mind, of the, your friends are actually lying to you. You know, strangers, they're too polite. They're never going to tell you exactly who you are. And that sentence ran in my mind constantly. So as I was developing relationship outside my home, I would be constantly having this thought in my subconscious going, these people that don't really love me because they haven't seen me, because I didn't, you know, the words that they were using towards me and the action, the kindness that they, in their action towards me and their reaction to my person was so different from the one of my parents and my sibling that I never found them genuine. I doubted them. I doubted the outsiders, not my family. For years, I doubted the outsiders, the friends, the colleagues, anybody that would come my way. Even though I had that tiny little voice that was like, maybe my family's wrong, you know, and I would rebel. They still had that massive hold of, no, their perception of me is right. You know, they see me. They see me in ways that I don't see myself. So therefore, so with all of this in mind and this like double voice personality, which, you know, most of us have, like that criticizing bitch in me, like that is constantly being fed by the past and the perception of everybody else is about me, and which becomes that armor that you wear every day in the off chances that anybody would even like stop for a second and look at you too deep to find out exactly, you know, like what your family tells you or told you or made you think that you were. I was just fed up. I just could not hold it anymore. And I could not even relate. The feelings that I had inside about people and about my interactions, they did not match up with the things that they were saying to me. I wasn't manipulative. I was searching for love. And I was being tactful. That sense of manipulation that they perceived my way of, like, even now, maybe sometimes you can hear my hesitation, you know, like in my thoughts, because I'm thinking, I am being cautious, I'm regarding, you know, like the words that I'm saying, respectful, maybe because I didn't have that when I'm growing up. I didn't have people that cared about what they were saying and the impact that it had in my skin, in my brain, in my subconscious. So now I'm very cautious. I'm cautious and I'm fearful about the residual that I leave to anybody else, because I understand the words are powerful. So are action, but even words. There are conversations that I had, God knows how many years ago, and they still had a fucking hold of me. So now, and to them, that was my hesitation became me being manipulative. My empathy became a way for me to be called manipulative. So when I used to find it in other people, I used to recognize it as manipulation. And I'll run a fucking mile. I'm like, they're not sincere. When I recognize particular traits on people that I could relate, probably in a subconscious level, I now see it. I now see it, why I moved away, why I left those relationships. However, the people that would have real manipulation, which I had to learn after, when I, let's say, recalibrated my internal traffic light. I don't know if you've heard about the metaphor of the internal traffic light. When you, it's so dysfunctional that green becomes red and red becomes green. So when I had to relearn my color blindness and readjust the green, it means like, oh, you're safe, and red, it means like, get the fuck out of that. I started to see that, oh, wow, yes, Amina, like every human, you are capable of hurting enormously, but you are mostly bloody good. And no, you're not all the voices that you heard from them. So let's fast forward to today. The single mom of two kids for two different dads. That's gone through a hell of a lot of a journey. And still am. I've got one thing off my bucket list. Remove anything that I don't believe anymore. And healing has gifted me that. I am freed from the attachment of what I thought family was. And this allowed me to put a lot of distance from my mother. I lost my dad 10 years ago. So life brought us distance. That, for how deeply painful it was, actually freed me into the ability to finally navigate through what religion and my values in regards to where are now. But mostly is that I have learned to appreciate the experience that I had with them. And in their own power, they were doing like insane, courageous people. Politically speaking, the moment that they have arrived in Europe and how it was, they have done the best that they could. As parents, with the tools that they did have, they tried the best. And I know as a mom now that we don't get in this thinking that we're going to fuck our children up. We really don't. So I accept that their intentions was to do their best. But they didn't. And we grew apart. And they gifted me the freedom to be the first generation born in Europe. And with that came the fact that I cannot relate to them. I do not relate. I understand them. I empathize, but I don't relate to them. And I don't have to. And as with every other human being that in my life now, if we grow apart, I am happy to say I love you and I'm going to love you from a distance. I don't know what the future will hold. I don't know if then one day I'll have maybe the maturity to, you know, to be close to them without having that constant inner trigger where my mom would say, will express things and she will expect me to show up in ways, you know, that I find are not okay. And then I become okay with it. It's like, you never know. Whatever I thought 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 6 months ago, now it's completely changed, you know. But for now, in the last 4 years of putting distance and not having her, like, we've gone from like 3 phone calls a day to 0. To, you know, the odd message on WhatsApp. And for how much I want a mom, I want me more. For how much I wanted a dad, I want me more. For how much I wanted a husband, I want a fucking me more. And you know where you guys have seen it? And I hope one day, you know, like, it depends. I don't know how you gain your perspective. And I'd love to hear, you know, like, where you found your way to cope with family. For me, it was my kids. By having actual family that is related to me and the way that I conduct myself as a mom and the freedom that I feel in it, knowing that these people love me unconditionally because I am a firm believer that children love you unconditionally, my parents don't. But again, this is another chat. I know now the kind of person I am when I have this source of love that comes with no attachment outside me being me. And I can see the adjectives and the words and the affirmations that I would attach to me. I see the feedbacks of my children. And I see who I am in love. So yes, back to square one. What is family? How do you identify it? To me, now, family is the people that can embrace me and I can embrace completely. It's those people that don't give me anxiety and I don't have to prove myself. And as I'm learning not to prove myself to myself, because that's the first person that I needed to do that with, to prove that I did not need to prove anything, that I was okay exactly the way that I was. That allowed me to now see it out there. And to allow people in that can cater for me in that space and vice versa. So people that you can call family are people that you choose. 100%. You don't choose your family. Those are like blood relations that you have never had any choice. You love them. You share a lot of history. You might relate, you know, like in the sense like with my sibling, my brother, I relate, but you had the same childhood. There is nobody else's in this world, you know, that I can go, oh my God, man, you know, like, do you remember what it felt like? So we shared that. But then if you see us in the way that we live life, we don't have much in common. We want similar things, but we want to get there in different ways. And isn't it family, when you're talking about the soul family, those gotta be the people that maybe want different things, but maybe we want to do it. We want to get there in the similar, in the same way, in a day in and day out. And that's sanity for me, because finding that conflict with people that have shared different values, and I have to constantly have to justify the way that I am and how I am and why I'm doing things that I'm doing and my searching and seeking and not be understood. It just makes me waste time. Like, I feel like I pull myself, like, you're holding on to me. You're holding me back. I don't have time to spend 7 days a week, you know, trying to be challenged about my ideas and what I'm discovering and how I want to show up in my life. I cannot spend the life of me anymore justifying my growth, my inner being. I cannot spend more time being responsible for your morality and be responsible for your self-judgment and for your growth. I cannot be your therapist anymore. I gotta be mine. I spend too much time being other people's therapist. And that's what happens when two people don't have the similar values and they're not willingly looking inside themselves and see who they are. That's what happens. One becomes a therapist and the other one becomes a patient. And then you constantly have to explain to them what's happening to them while it's happening to you. And it's like, that's too much. I can't do that. That's way too fucking much. I can't do that. I don't want it. It's not even like I can't do that. I've done that. I've realized that I don't want it. I don't want it. I don't want it in me. I don't want it in my life. I'm okay with you wanting to discover yourself. And if I am in a space and a journey where maybe I've gained more knowledge than you have, I can help you. But that needs to come from you. I'm not going to be the, I'm going to transform you so that I can have a relationship with you. No. So what's family? People do you find along the way? And you can share spaces in a healthy way. I find family, you know, when people relate to me and you're like in that space, that's family. You know, like when you are in that circumstances, yeah, where you meet someone and you say something and that other person's like eyes light up because they know exactly what you're talking about. Boom. That's fucking family. I'm like, oh, wow, you understand. Yeah, and how did you get that? Like, that is so family. They come into your life to give you sanity, to tell you, bitch, you knew. I get it. I understand you. I relate to you. Oh, God. I don't know you guys, but this was so freeing. My, like, sacral chakra, it is so happy. It's vibrating talking about this again, you know, like I said at the beginning, it was never about you, it is about me. I need this. I just don't want to feel shame anymore. I am liberating myself from fucking shame. Let it free me, let it empower me. My story, it is my DNA, it is my foundation. And it is my triumph, because with everything that I've gone through, I'm so fucking happy that I am the person that I am. And I'm still relentlessly searching. So after briefly explaining my, actually giving a bit of insight about my own experience with family, I want to get deeper into the subject. There are like some really crazy questions that I have and that I would say kind of have tormented me. I don't know where you guys are at with this, but when I think about unconditional love, and I feel like we have been talking about it in society a lot, like you would hear it everywhere. Everyone is seeking it now. We all want it, or we all searching for it. But there is one place that it seems that it's like some common understanding that we have. It is that unconditional love comes from your mother. And I don't know if I've heard about the father, but 100%, most societies, religion, culture, whatever you come from, people will tell you, like, your mother, she has unconditional love. And I'm sorry, like, but I can't. Just, like, for the love of me, it does not make sense. I don't know, again, where you are with this statement, but to me, when I actually get into logic and experience and hearing the stories of many of other people that I've heard and their experiences with their family, I'm going with, who the fuck go around with this gossip that mothers or family or people in your bloodline have got unconditional love for you? I think it's the most misconstrued, hardly ever challenged, because every single time that I would have any conversation with this statement that I'm about to make, and I'm going to unwrap it, everyone looks at me as if I'm bizarre, as if they've never even, like, this is something that they haven't actually contemplated. Whoa, it's like, Mina, like, whoa, 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 like, where are you going with this? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you must have thought about this before. Like, anyway, so let's get to the bottom of this. Unconditional love, we all seek it, we all want it, and we all have this make-believe place where we believe that we already got it from our families. And yet we seem not to be able to have a good relationship or a healthy one with nobody around. But if you know something, you know how to replicate it. That's the easiest thing. That's psychology. That's math. 1 + 1 = 2. You know what unconditional love is. You know how to recognize it and reciprocate it or give it. But it's so obvious that we don't. And this is why, at least this is my theory behind it. Okay. If you say that your family, your mother has unconditional love for you, so it means that we as a society have never challenged the idea of the fact that parents, including myself, might not have the best interest for you. And we take for granted that the feelings of a parent towards their children, it is absolutely undeniable. I think that's bullshit. I call bullshit on it, like, from the get-go. As a mom myself, I will go straight to the point. I will say to you, the day that I've met my daughters, I liked them, but I was shit scared. Any parent that I know, when you see these pictures of them crying, it is about that 20 hours of labor that they've just gone through. Ow. Massive child going through the vagina. You are petrified, you're scared, you're relieved. There are so many things that are going through you, but it's definitely not, oh my God, I'm so in love. Not the way that I love them now. Like 17 years later, well, almost 17 years later and 10 years later with my little one. Now I can tell you that day by day, I've learned to love them so much. And I love them because I know them. I like them because I know them. And it's not because of that blood. Because if you would say that, then you would take for granted that a child that gets abandoned. And what happens to, okay, what about those children that get left behind? What about those parents that they, for whatever reason, doesn't matter, it is your fault, it is not your fault that you choose it, that it was someone else's, or those parents that have abortions? And this is not to judge anybody. This is not a judgment. This is actually to come to a more sensible conclusion of how, if you are a parent, and the moment that you get pregnant, you become a parent because you have a life inside you. So what happens? You should have this unconditional love. You shouldn't be able to have abortions. You should not be able to, when the child arrives, to give it to adoption. You should not be able to, when the child grows up, be able to manipulate them. You would not be able to sexually assault them. You should not be able to abuse them verbally, physically, mentally. If that love is unconditional, and you mean you can't, like, it's, and then the question to me comes to, what is love? Because if love is ownership, because that's where we're coming from, it's like, because you're part of me, you are me, then I love you. Is that the unconditional love that we're talking about? is that? Because I don't understand. If unconditional love was from parents and it came and is exclusively and it's undeniably from parents, none of the other things could happen. If that's a feeling that is innately inside inside a human, once they become a parent, they could not feel like that. So what about those people that adopt and they love their children tremendously? Would we judge that that love is less love because their children did not come from them? So they don't have unconditional love for their children? Can somebody explain this? Because to me, it makes no sense. And to all the parents out there, like, we all love our children. We love them, okay? But we do not have the best interest for them all the time. And that it is because the love is not, it's full of conditions. Especially when you say, you know, like, when we talk about my parents have got unconditional love, bullshit. And I'll tell you why. Because parents' love is full of condition. I love you if you behave. I love you if you listen to me. I love you when you get the right grades. I love you if you don't embarrass me in front of my friends. I love you when you disappear and you're not annoying me. I love you so much when you do whatever it is that you need to do, but you're away from me. And then children love, it's absolutely the opposite. If I would say anything and I would actually think of where unconditional love comes from, I would say it comes from children. But before we get there, parents' love is full of conditions. We actually learn that all dysfunctional ways in which we attribute meaning to love comes from parents. And the shittiest thing in this society is that no matter where I've been, and I've been hearing a lot of dysfunctioning, I even went through, like, I was doing like a degree in psychology, which, by the way, I had to leave behind because I just felt sorry. And I love psychology. I found courses, like, I find any type of formal education extremely boring. I feel like I self-teach myself way better. But anyway, that's another conversation. But we can all agree there are two major factors, you know, that most people go for therapy. One is parents. So we will have forever trauma about our parents and what happened to you in school. These are the two major factors that actually condition the rest of our life, okay? And but yet nobody's questioning the fact that parents, yes, now we treat children in a completely different way, but we still do not question the fact that the parents, it's not an unconditional love. And we still have this fairy tale going around. So yes, if you ask me, I would say conditional love comes from parents. Unconditional love comes from children. You've seen all the latter that I've told you, the abuse, the manipulation, sexual abuse, abandonment. It doesn't matter what you do to these children. They are bound to love you. And you know what? We can all put ourselves in that picture. We all have been children of someone. Maybe not all of you have yet to become parents, or you might not care to become one. So you can't sit in both chairs. But me sitting in both of the chairs, I would say to you that as a child, no matter what my parents did to me, I can't help but love them. It's like by default. And I forgave stuff that I would never forgive to anything and anyone. But parents do not bloody forgive you. They punish you straight away. Like, we have learned discipline. We learned how love is so conditional by parents. Because when you think about all the dysfunctioning that you've had through your life and all the people that you've allowed to walk all over you, all the times that you have ignored your intuition and your own voice inside, it comes from the doubts that it came from the conditional love from parents. Because when you put the two words love, okay, and unconditional in a relationship where actually there is no love, because love cannot be conditioned. Because if you love me, you love me, okay? They might have feelings for you, but is that unconditional love? It means that you will embrace me. You will take the time to get to know me. And few parents do that. By their fault or by not their fault, we're just talking about like the reality. So are parents being taught to be loving and to understand themselves, the healthy love that they need to learn for themselves to give? No. till this day, I've seen no class for that. You know, we get children by 5, 6 years old, and depends on whatever country you are, they'll be educated about the moon, the stars, the lakes, mathematics, literacy. Children, and then to become young adults, they're informed about the world left and right and up and north. So, but then nobody's teaching us what love is, how to recognize it, how to give it. How is it that you're not teaching us as human beings things that we actually need that will make our life and society more functional? However, we allow for, like, the people will laugh at you if you say that you believe in unicorns, but they will not question you when you say that. After you tell them the brutalities that you've gone through your childhood, they will still tell you that your parents are your parents and you should love them. Excuse me. Like, how is that even, you know? How is me believing unicorns, yeah, less credible than what you just said to me? Like, where am I supposed to place you in the, you know, normality scale, if there was a scale? So sometimes I look at my, like, I look at my surroundings and I'm asking myself, you know, like, am I the only one questioning myself? Like, for me to gain sanity, to be able to detach this umbilical cord, you know, attached from my family, and how am I going to get to sanity? You know, there's a beautiful quote that it says that nobody gets well in a place that they got sick. And I've learned that that is the truth. It's like that beautiful bowl of fruit. And when you have one that is rotten, you will not expect for the rest of it to get better. You have to take in the rotten one out for you to be able to have the rest. Stay healthy. There is no way. And there is no even like regression, because that fruit itself doesn't even know that it's rotten. That's the thing. So, and I'm talking to this about not humans. I'm thinking about the idea that we have attached to our values in terms of family, and they need to be breaking down. And I mean ASAP, because the disaster that has been creating in our like inner beings, you cannot tell me that you love me, you can do all of those things. And then for me to be able to accept that, I have to go against what I feel inside. And we all knew when we were getting like the bad end, you know, of like whatever they called love, we knew it inside. You knew that this, like, you would look at your parents and think, what are you doing to me? It's not nice. But hold on, let me convince, you know, indoctrinate myself that I'm receiving love. So then, and how is it that now, as a grown up, you expect me to be able to go out there and recognize what healthy is? How? In what language? Like, I mean, what language? I need to find what language, because there's no language out there that can actually procure me with sanity in what you just, like, how we are promoting this belief. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't exist. And not only it's not possible that the two, they can work together, it is shown and is proven that our reaction and dysfunction and in our life later on, as we become self-destructive, as when we see in our like relationship, our friendship, the choices that we make about ourselves, our self-esteem, all of it speaks very, very loud. If not, we'll say, like, it's a shout of all the things that we have learned. And it's sad, you know, to have this, put this great expectation on a human being that comes from that type of dysfunction. So it's not taught to understand what love is, and then we were not even prepared as a society to actually give words and meaning to love, because majority of times, you know, like, I think prior to like now, these very like new age times where we are questioning the meaning of love, and everyone, you know, is starting to feel that, oh God, you know, I don't know if I know, you know, and kind of like going into this humble space of introspection where we're starting to question ourselves if, you know, we have a good understanding of what love is. Prior to that, all we had, it was like our culture. So you're talking about like films, you know, music, you know, some poetry, some like writers, and everyone spoke about love in such an abstract way. And it was always like in the romance. Like, you never hear people write in books about love in the family, it's always about romantic. So that was like the scapegoat. Well, if whatever happened to your family, then one day you're going to get a prince or a princess, you know, and then finally you're going to be loved forever and ever and adored by this complete stranger. Okay. It comes to a time in life that this stranger will come into your life, but guess what? You're going to get the same exact love that you got last time. And you know what? Because the guy or the girl, they have the only tools that they have been taught. And that love is, it's unhealthy. And you have the only tools that you have been exposed to. So guess what? We will be really good at having that 90 minutes. That's how long a movie lasts, isn't it? 90 minutes to romance and sweep ourselves up into making each other believe of how beautiful and shiny we are until real life hit you, because then you start to build a life and you realize that you have no fucking clue. And then after that, children come along if you decide to have them, and boom, your dysfunction comes into that their lives too. So, and you know what? The only people here that actually come with the new shiny, bright new existence is these children. And they had not been affected. They yet are to learn what dysfunction is. But guess what? You're going to introduce them and put it right on a red carpet for them to carry on the saga of what the fuck love it is not. So welcome to my explanation of what I think unconditional love ain't, and what we actually should be finally starting to talk about. And I can't wait, because I hope I'm not the only one like is questioning ourselves about this. And to be quite honest, this has been my secret tool. Like, for me, I needed to break it down. Like, now not being close to my mother, and obviously my dad passed away, but even though somebody, you know, when people die, there are like different stages, not only the stages of grief, you know, that they tell you about. There's also the stage of dismantling the beautiful memories that you want to create into your mind, and to having to do that without my dad alive and to create that closure, where now, even though he's dead, I can't glorify him just so that I can cope with the missing, even though it was so fucked up, our relationship. And I've realized that what I'm missing, it is that it's this dysfunction, and you can see it in every choice of a man that I have, and even the closest friendships that I have. This is the dysfunction where me, I become the absolute enabler of these people that will make sure, you know, that I keep on the pattern of being the lamb that gets, you know, brutally dismantled by these people. And I do it because this is the only way that I seem to know that you love me. And for me to break that, I had to go and dismantle the theory that I had of love. And now I'm in that space where I'm like, wow, I gotta live with this understanding, you know, and it's no easy place. I get it. Do you know what? I actually fucking get why people don't like, they haven't actually broken this legend of parents have got unconditional love, because it's not easy. You know what? I did like it too. I loved my place mentally where I was before. Oh, you know, no matter where you go, I know my mommy loves me, or my dad actually loves me. Like, right deep underneath all that fuckery, they actually care for me and they want the best for me. They might have done, of course they wanted me to do well according to whatever things they thought it was their own idea of good or well. Is there any wrong with that? Is there any right with that? Not necessarily. But the way that they've gone about it, it was disturbing. And you know why you know that it's disturbing? Because half of those things that were happening, we don't do them to children now, you know? And nobody's talking about what happened to us parents, the ones that actually got that, and how dysfunctional we are. Do you know what I would tell you? My mom, she used to be really, really abusive physically. She used to bit me so bad, honestly, so bad that sometimes I thought I was never going to even last to the next day. So what happened when my daughter, the older one, came along, all that anger that she taught me of how to react when something that I don't like is happening, it was in me. And I had to make the choice. I remember like getting this urge of anger inside of me where I wanted to respond because that's what I knew. My daughter just opened a cabinet and she shouldn't have it. She made a mess. Let me just beat it up black and blue. And guys, like, you know that. Like, there is nothing a child has done to deserve those type of, like, that behavior. We used to get beaten, you know, for no reason. I come back home, I've got a bad grade. You're such an idiot. Let me beat you. You went out with your friends. You come back and you get abused as if you just murdered someone. I had to go into my mind and literally go, Amina, where the hell is this anger coming from? The anger that will rise up from my body. It was like something else. And I remember like feeling like, my God, this is like, I could see my mom in me. Like her reactions, it was so in me. And I was like, oh my God, Amina, like you need to breathe. Like you can't be, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. And I would look at this little one, you know, like, and whatever she was doing, was it corresponding to the anger that I was having? Like, what is this, like, where is it coming from? And that's when it made me realize, I was like, wow, Ami, like, you don't actually have the best love for this kid. You don't have the best intention. You are like a human full of patterns, habits, conditioning, indoctrination. And for you to become the parent that you would love to be, you're going to have to bloody go against the current. And my current, because I came from this dysfunction, it was insane. So to cut short, like, Zara never had the hand. Like, I've promised myself that I was never going to touch my children. I understood that. And I did that. You know what? You know what it was, the urge? It was the fact that after feeling my anger, I realized that if I would have had that, like, one touch, God knows what it would have led. I understood what was the click in my mother's head. Did she begin with one like slap, but then all the anger, the frustration of her life or whatever it was used to get all over me? And I said to myself, there's no place in that. There's no place in that in disciplining a child. There's no place in that in doing anything. But as well, like, what on earth does a child need to do? Or even like the verbal abuse that you get, you're stupid, you're such an idiot. Who gets motivated by being spoken in such a way? Like, who does? Like, if I don't get it. And it doesn't make sense because obviously we all did it. Most of us received it. The, oh my God, you're so silly. Like, you're so stupid. What's with humiliation? Somehow should be working as motivation. I don't get it. And for me to undo that, I had to go and re-educate myself and go deep and get humble and so humble deep inside. And I had to accept the fact that no, parenting does not come naturally. And no, it's not even that they don't come with a manual. We don't come with a fucking manual. We as parents don't come with a fucking manual. And whatever baggage we have been carrying, these children, they will be the receivers of everything. And somehow what this concept of family loves you forever has given us access to, it is to allow for us to do whatever the fuck we want with no actual consequences. And this is absolutely detrimental for you to understand that if you as a person understand that there are people out there that love you, and no matter what they do not get responsibility for their own actions, you never receive justice. And I bet for the love of anything that you will not be able to give yourself justice or distinguish what is right or wrong for most of your adult life. Because no matter what happens, you allowed people that love you unconditionally, yeah, to treat you in such a brutal way, you can never even admit into your mind that what they did was not right. They will never take consequences, nor have any type of remorse. Therefore, there is no closure. So you will go like a crazy mouse, constantly like running on this wheel that is infinite. And every time that you get off it, it's like you're the hamster, you know, just running, running, you get off it, and you're like, oh, back to square one. And then you go back and it's like, oh my God, I'm still here. How is that? How is that going to help you move along? How is going to that bring favor to your healing? like, how do we come to a space where we can, you can't just forgive, like, you know, until they say, oh, you need to forgive what they did. I get it. But for me to forgive, understand, and then I need to put in place, there are consequences in life. And for you to give them consequences, you need to be able to have that closure. Because without it, it is just like a forever, never ending, you know, like infinite doubt. And I tell you that now that I've been able to actually have that closure with myself, because the only person that I needed to believe it was me. I needed to believe that what it was happening to me, it was not fair. And I felt it all my life. It's not fair. I don't care about your intention, because you know what? I think a lot of people get away with this. With like, yeah, but I didn't mean to hurt you. Sorry, guy, you know, like, I know you didn't mean to hurt me. Like, those are psychopaths. You know, people when they say, but I didn't mean to hurt you. I see no meaning in that, because the only people that actually mean to hurt you and usually a psychopath or like sociopath or narcissist. And those are so few and far in between, because they're not, it's not as easy. Contrary to the trend that now we have, but that was going to be another conversation. It seems that everybody, you know, now have met a narcissist. We all have narcissistic traits. That's my belief. But however, it's not that easy to meet a narcissist. And those ones, they lack of empathy. So you're talking about human beings that don't know the difference between right or wrong. You have people out here that are just broken. They know the difference between right or wrong. They just don't have the tools, don't care to do much about it. And they go on with the culturally indoctrinated belief that what they're doing, it is fine, because so many other people, you know, in their lineage and their family and tradition and culture has done the same. And look at me, I survived. So, you know, and the classical, I actually had it worse than you did. I don't know, how's that gonna help me? Like, why are we comparing now? Like, the amount of the parents that would justify it to their children, yeah, but you had it better than me. Like, but how is that, like, is this competition? Like, why are you competing with me? Who will get it worse? Anyway, so yes, I don't believe that. I don't believe family gives you unconditional love. Like, if you guys have had that family that gave you unconditional love, and you think that the dysfunction that you received, it was not a clear pathway that you are unfolding in your life, and the way that it actually has shaped your understanding of love and relationship and your self-esteem, and then I'm so happy for you. Like, I would love to know what it feels like. Sometimes, you know, I gave my daughters a completely different upbringing, and a lot of the times I sit down and I ask them, you know, like, how does it feel? Can you relate? When I tell them some things about my childhood, they just look at me like, they're so shocked. And I can see how far, you know, like, they are from where I was. And I'm always really curious to know, like, I was like, how does it feel? And they're like, Mom, I don't know anything wrong, like, different. And I'm like, oh, wow, you know. But I would love to know. And if you guys have words to describe your unconditional love that you found from your family, and please don't tell me it's not about that they fed you and they give you clothes. We all got fed. And the ones that didn't, you know, I'm really sorry. But I feel like that's the basics. Like, that's neglecting. But it doesn't mean because you were fed or you were taken in a new country or whatever it is, you know, that's not, that is the minimum. Like, as children, you don't get to choose to come to this world, okay? So this having this, like, major sense of, like, gratitude towards your parents because they gave you the things that they were supposed to. It's my duty. It is my duty to better myself. It is my duty to give my children, you know, like, the minimum. But I chose to have them. In good or bad, I chose to have them. So I clothe you, I dress you, I give you leisure, I make sure that you have the experiences that you need to have in life. I want to teach you, I want to be there for you, I'm going to get better, I'm going to educate myself. All these things are the bloody rights of kids. And when you don't satisfy these things, and you think because you're clothing them and you're giving them an education and you're giving them somewhere to sleep, and these children need to be having gratitude towards you, like, and somehow it is because, you know, like, oh, you know, my mom loves me forever and ever. I'm sorry, guys. I call bullshit on it. So anyway, I think we have exhausted the subject. At least I have. It's been an emotional roller coaster for me. But what is beautiful about healing together? This is my first episode, so I hope I did good. See, looking for me for foundation. Anyway, I'm gonna definitely get better by time to the time. I'm not yet sure if I'm gonna put this one in two episodes or I'm just gonna do a long one once I get through the editing. If this is the first time, well, this is definitely the first time, and anybody that I actually get to reach, I'm gonna create an Instagram page and I'm gonna make sure that even here you guys can actually respond. I'm gonna leave my details. Please tell me your stories. I'd love to hear them. It is important. I learn through relationship and I learn through other people's like stories, and I'm really fortunate in my like everyday life people actually come to me and they tell me and they share, and that's how I get to heal. Because you know, like once one of us open up and tells the story, there are pieces and bits in which we all relate, and the only way that we can find closure, if we cannot find it within our family, is by our soul family. And I am in search for it. And I want to find it. And I hope I find it in you. Thank you. And I'll speak to you next time.